Let's start at the John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 7. You know what they say about the opinions? Everyone has a nose, everyone has an opinion, right? We all have an opinion. Some people are more opinionated than others. Especially when it comes to God, it ranges from true biblical definition of God to totally wicked cult definition, and to a definition of a you make as you go. Hodgepodge concept of God. As I was preparing this sermon, I did a little research and to see what kinds of definitions several well-known cults we know, their idea of a God. Starting with the Jehovah's Witness, one person God called Jehovah, no Trinity, Jesus is the first creation Jehovah created. Mormonism, God the Father was once a man, but progressed to Godhood. He has a physical body and as does his wife. No Trinity. Worthy man may one day become gods themselves. Unification Church. God is both positive and negative. The universe is God's body. Their God does not know the future. Kind of pathetic God. He's suffering. It gets worse. He's suffering and he needs Munsonmyeon to make him happy. In other words, their God needs a babysitter. Right? Scientology. Ask Tom Cruise about this. They do not define God or supreme being. Everyone is Satan, an immortal spirit with unlimited powers of its own universe, but not all are aware of this. Great for each one's ego, right? Islam. They said Allah is God. Human attributes such as a fatherhood cannot be associated with God. You deny that in front of them, probably you will lose your head. New Age. They say everything and everyone is a God. And God is an impersonal force or principle, not a person. People have unlimited inner power and need to discover it. Okay, this is something I made up. The name is I made up. Pick and choose Christianity light. Many self-proclaimed people who think that they are Christian, though they have never made the commitment to accept Jesus into their heart as a Savior and Lord, they pick and choose what they want from the Bible, but because what the Bible says goes against carnal lifestyle, they don't want to follow God as the Bible says. Are you with me? If you are in that category and you're thinking that I would speak to you, just pat on your back, pat on your head, and make you feel better, you came to wrong church. No wonder the world is in chaos. Everyone runs around and with his or her own idea of God, and they don't want the focused. They don't have the focused idea who God truly is, and because they choose not to know God. Did you get that? The emphasis is they choose not to know deliberately. 400 years ago, Christ, before the Christ was born, Greek philosopher Plato wrote, he said, to find out the Father and the Maker of all this universe is a hard task. And when we have found Him, to speak of Him to all men is impossible. He said, what do you know? Plato is wrong again. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to find out who God the Father is. We don't have to wait to be in heaven to find out who Jesus Christ is, nor the Holy Spirit. How do we know? This book says so. All right, let's stop here and pray. Father, we come to you to hear from you, not from what man says or his opinion. We don't want his opinion, we don't want a man's word, but we want to hear from you what you said about your Father and your Son, your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, anoint our heart for us to understand your word, to understand what you're trying to speak to us and how we live our lives the way you desire. Father, it is not something that we want to make our way into you, but simply following your ways. Your way is higher than the earth, higher than the heaven. And your way is always guiding us, your way always guide us to the right path. Father, we are asking you an anointing upon our heart to receive your word and anointing upon the one who speaks. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Let them not do the things they want or even the devil speak, but let them do the things what is right in your sight. We pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Another police officer got killed. Comfort their families, comfort their friends, and protect them as they protect us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7 of chapter 14 in the book of John, please. If you had known me, that is Jesus speaking here, you have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Stop there, please. From what the Lord Jesus said, we can see that the only way we can get to know the God the Father is through Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ. Without knowing Jesus, we cannot know the Father. That's what Jesus is speaking to us. The Greek word for the know is kinosko. The word know is used 141 times in the book of John. And does not always carry the same meaning because there's different meanings and four different levels of knowing according to John. So let me explain to you four different levels. First one is simply knowing the fact. Simply knowing the fact. Any unbeliever can read the Bible and attain what the Bible speaks and says. If the person's stops there and the knowledge he had attained from the Bible is nothing more than head knowledge. Did you get that? A lot of people can quote some Bible verses, but that has nothing to do with their lives. They just know there is some Bible verse, something to do with them. Second concept of knowing is understanding the truth behind the fact. However, you can know the fact and know the truth behind it and still be lost in your sin. How can it be? College professors who is in charge of the religion, they can quote the Bible verses better than you and I can quote. Yet, many of them don't have a Jesus Christ in their heart. Do you know, if the rapture happened right now, throughout this country, some of the pastors, some of the self-proclaimed Christians will be left behind because they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart as their Lord and Savior. If you have accepted Him into your heart, you will be gone. But those who never made a commitment will be sitting right here on their chairs. And they're going to wonder what happened. Third idea of the knowing is getting into a personal relationship, getting into personal relationship. To know means to believe in a person and become related to him or her. Like no other religion in the world, our God Jesus becomes our Savior and Lord. And God the Father becomes our Father in heaven. And this is the way the know is used in John chapter 17 verse 3. So keep your finger in John chapter 14, turn to your right and go to verse 3 of chapter 17. Jesus speaking still, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." Jesus speaking to the Father in prayer, "and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." They get to know, we get to know God the Father, God the Son. It's more than just having head knowledge. Are you with me on that? We become related to Him. In fact, in Scripture, Hebrew word to know is yada. And it means more, a most intimate relationship between man and woman. Again, keep your finger in chapter 14. Go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired man from the Lord." When you go back to the original, at origin of the beginning of the verse 1, Adam knew his wife, Eve, his wife. That knew is an intimate relationship. Okay, that brings to the fourth definition of know in the book of John. The fourth use of the know means to have a deeper relationship with a person and deeper communion. This is the level Paul is referring to when he wrote the Philippians chapter 3. So turn right to Philippians, right after the book of Ephesians, right before Colossians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. "Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, as I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Verse 10, here's an important thing. "That I may," what? "Know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." I heard some pastors said that, well, there is no place in the Bible that said you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Have you ever heard that? And they said that. And so when you say to do the sinner's prayer, it's in a way, it's not in context, it's not biblical. It is biblical because if you know the meaning of the know, it's receiving someone into your heart as that personal guide, personal God, having a personal relationship. Christian God, Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, is not some quote-unquote God in the la-la land and who does not know you, like a Greek gods. They could kill us about you because they have their own soap opera. Their lives, their Greek mythology is just about as bad as our own lives. There's a jealousy, there's a killing, there's a murder. It's like a, why do I want to serve their God when I have a problem of my own, right? Our God is a different God. He's a one true God who knows all things, who can do all things, who can be everywhere. It's not even comparable. Jesus will describe deeper relationship about this in John chapter 14, 19 through 23. So we will save this portion for later. Go down to verse 8, please. "Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us." He's trying to be real spiritual here. "Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long that yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. I want you to go back and note that word. In verse 10, in the middle, the word that I speak to you. Okay? And then go down back to the, but the Father who dwells in me does the what? Works. Note those two words. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Have you ever thought about the spiritual roadblock that often keep us from the knowing God? Do you have roadblocks, spiritual roadblocks? We had it all. Devil is more than happy to provide any excuse, any lame excuse to prevent us from knowing God. Have you ever had an experience that when you try to pray, all of a sudden everything can go wrong, will go wrong? Had that happened? When you try to read the Bible, the people whom you haven't talked to for 20 years call you. And the things falling apart. Your dog's barking like a crazy thing. Your cat is jumping on your Bible. Why? Anything can go wrong, will go wrong when you try to be close to God and to know Him. Devil will do anything to stop you from knowing Him. And guess what we do? We fall for it. When you try to pray, all of a sudden, all this thought comes to you. This is what I do often. When I pray, I have a notepad. Since I forget a lot of things, when the thought comes to me, when it's important, I just couple words. I go back to the prayer. Or I pray aloud so I can stay focused on what I'm praying for. Though Satan supplies those excuses, no one can actually make roadblocks in our hearts except ourselves. Say it with me, except ourselves. We allow Satan to provide a roadblock in our hearts. I found a couple of roadblocks that the people keep keeping themselves from the knowing God. Number one is our preconception about what God should be. You know, some of you have a really high IQ intelligence. You might be in genius level and leave the rest of us in the dust. But your IQ still remains in 3 digits. Maybe your IQ might be 160 or 200. If your IQ is a 200, I don't know what are you doing here. But you still have finite intelligence, limited. Our God knows all things from the beginning to the end. It is futile to try to comprehend the incomprehensible God. Are you with me? Don't try to understand God from the beginning to the end. It's impossible. Many unbelievers' preconception about God is what they say, I always picture God like this. Or they say, my view of God is different than what the Bible says. Guess who is right? Their idea about God and biblical truth is a million miles apart. As a matter of fact, they are not in the same universe. Second roadblock is, people demand inappropriate confirmation from God. Like Philip in verse 8, people want the proof of God's faithfulness, capability, even the existence. Some people, I'm sure you've heard it. If God is real, show me this or show me that. Let him strike me to death. Well, it's coming. Don't worry. You keep it up, you'll get there sooner. Folks, listen up. God does not have to prove that He exists. All you got to do is look around. Look at the nature. And if you're, here's a good answer. If your life has been changed by grace of God, simply tell them you're looking at the God's existence. He changed me from this to this. That's why your testimony is so important. Are you with me on that? But if your testimony is no different than previous life, please don't tell them you're changed. Longing to see God with our, this is very important. Listen carefully, please. Longing to see God with our physical eyes is often an excuse for unbelief and the starting point of idolatry. Since a man is has a limited mind and cannot express beyond what he or she can see, hear, or think, the description of God boils down to the resemblance of God's creations. You understand that? In other words, idolater bring down God to human level or less. So what do they make? Well, look at the Old Testament. They came out from the Egypt, Exodus. The first idol they made, the cow. You go to India, everything, anything can think of is their idol. When I was growing up in South Korea, they built this totem pole. Look, pretty much like a totem pole. And they made that thing. They worshiped that wooden thing. And don't say, we don't worship anything anymore. Well, if you have a job and you that precede your relationship with God, now you have an idol. It can be your spouse. It can be your children. Anything take the place of your God is an idol. Are you with me on that? Husband and wives, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren are precious. But they should not override your God in your heart. God comes first, then your spouse, then your children, then your grandchildren, in that order. Never mix that. Have you ever heard the story about Jesus' face on tortilla? True. Look at it. See that in the middle? Somebody with eyes and beard and mustache? A woman in New Mexico, she was baking a tortilla, homemade, of course, and there is, burnt mark. You know, having it is one thing. Do you know what people did? They actually built a shrine. And they made a shrine that they called the Miracle Tortilla in Lake Arthur, New Mexico. I'm not lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I have a word for that lady. Get a new frying pan. And then some of you are thinking, preacher, you drew a drawing with the baby in the arms of Jesus. It's in the bookstore. Isn't that an idol? Let me put it this way. If you put that thing on your wall and fall down and worship that drawing, you're an idiot. I didn't draw that thing for you to worship the image. I was trying to portray the love of Jesus Christ for a pitiful human being. Nothing more, nothing less. Just in case, it's just editorial note. And you may say, oh, don't you get the money out of it? No, I don't. Not a penny. You can ask our bookstore people. I don't get a penny out of the sale of that drawing from the bookstore. All that money goes into the church property improvement fund. Verse 9 through 11 in chapter 14, when Jesus said that the knowing Him and seeing Him was the same as the knowing and seeing the Father. He was claiming to be God. From now on, the disciple would understand more and more about the Father, even though that Jesus is leaving them. Some of you might wonder, okay, I grant that Jesus' disciple had a physical relationship. I mean, they've been with Jesus for over 3 years. They ate with Him. They hung around with Him. They listened to Him in person. How can we have that kind of relationship with Jesus? Really? You even have a better relationship than that Jesus through this book. You have everything that you need to walk with Christ. Even more. The way Jesus made known to the character and the reality of Father was His Word and His works. The truth of God filled Jesus' Word, and the power of God produced His works. I believe that one of the strongest signs of the real child of God is the person's never-ending hunger for the Word. Hunger for the truth of God through the Word of God. I got saved in 1987, and I didn't know much about the Bible. And I prayed to the Lord, asked Him in one of my prayers. I asked Him, let me know You more. Do you know He actually answered my dumb prayer? He said with three words, loud and clear. I remember like yesterday. He said, read My Word. How do I know it's Him? Because that's how we get to know. Verse 12, please. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me and the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to My Father. Let me read this one more time, a little bit slow. I want you to understand this. Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me. That means the disciples of Jesus Christ, not just 12 disciples, but us as well. Us, believe in Him, the works that I do, He will do also. And the greater works than this He will do, because I go to the Father. This is the promise for us to claim, and the claiming of it demands faith. The fact that Jesus did return to the Father is an encouragement, because there He is interceding for us. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and speaking, praying for us, intercessory prayer. The great works would apply initially to the apostles who were given the power to perform the special miracles as their credentials of their apostleships. Their miracles were not greater in quality, but in quantity as well as in scope. For example, according to Acts chapter 2, Apostle Peter, remember the guy foot and mouth disease? He preached and 3,000 people got saved. Do you know that's more than people got saved by through Jesus Christ's ministry? More people got saved by Apostle Peter. Does it mean Apostle Peter is better? No. Quantity and scope, not in quality. And what about this? People get saved but through the ministry of Greg Laurie or the Billy Graham or the other evangelists. Are they better than God? Jesus Christ? No. By quantity and in scope. Of course, it's not the believer himself who does these great things. It is God who is working in through the believers. Faith and works must always come together, because it is faith in Him that releases the power of God in our lives. You agree? Okay, now I'm going to pick on Catholic. So if you're a Catholic, bear with me. But if I'm speaking the truth, you accept that. If I'm not speaking the truth, you can reject it. Canonization. There's Catholic, their doctrine. If someone does perform a miracle after their death or before their death, two miracles, they said perform the miracles, then they are allowed to be the saint, right? Am I correct? That is a flat out wrong. First of all, definition of a saint is the believers of Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. So you can call me Saint JK. Has a ring to it, right? I'm not saint because I have anything special to offer. I was a miserable sinner. I got saved by the grace of God. That's all. I have nothing to offer. Everything to do with the grace and mercy and the love of God through Jesus Christ. If I do anything, it's the power of the Holy Spirit work in us through the power, through the word that I believe in Jesus Christ. No one is able to perform miracle. Let me say it one more time. No one is able to perform miracle unless God's work is in it. If you think that you will be able to perform miracle, either you are cunning person and you're in delusion. So let me say it one more time. No one performs miracles. It's only by the power of God. Probably I irritate a couple of people. I don't know. Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name. Note that please. Whatever you ask in my name that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said this twice. Listen carefully please. This is not a magic formula that God the Father cannot resist. And we have to get anything we want because we attach in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayers. To ask anything of the Father in the name of Jesus means we ask what Jesus would ask, what would please Him, what would bring Him glory by furthering His work. It is a tremendous privilege to use Jesus' name and demand a lot of responsibility from us. Did you get that? Don't ask God in Jesus' name if it's not in God's will. I know what Kenneth Copeland said, that the heresy teacher. He said, just demand God what you want. Don't even ask God's will. Not that. Are you going directly against the Word of God? Of course, they use these two verses for the databases. Some Bible teachers in charismatic denomination use these two verses as their basis to tell their congregation they are encouraged to claim anything in their heart desires. That's far from the truth in context. Are you with me on that? If you keep the Bible verse in context, you cannot demand whatever you want. You only ask what God wants, and it will be done. How do I know? I will show it to you. God is not giving them blank checks. Rather, in my name is a controlling element. Say it with me, controlling element. To know God's name means to know His nature and who He is, what He is, and what He wants to do. Since God answered our prayer in order to bring honor and glory to His name, and our prayer must be in His will. Go to 1 John chapter 5, please. This is the place where I'm trying to show you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Kenneth Copeland and any of those people, the prosperity gospel, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, they would never teach you this portion. Now, this is the confidence. Are you there yet? This is the confidence that we have in Him. And if we ask anything, what? According to whose will? Your will? Who is His? God's, Jesus' will. He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. So, let me put it this way. If your child come to you, or grandchild come to you, Dad, or Grandpa, can I do this for you? And if it is in your will, of course you will say, of course, do it. And your child come to you, and he's 7 years old, and he said, can I have your truck key? You say, no, not until you become 17 or 27. Until we ask God's will, until we know, we cannot really ask Him for Him to do what we want. We can know God, God the Father and Maker of the universe because Jesus Christ revealed Him to us contrary to what Plato said. Why should our heart be troubled when the Creator and the owner of the universe is our Father? It's not that difficult to find God the Father. Read the Word. People say, I don't know the will of God. Did you read the Bible? You say, no. Well, how are you going to know? Memorize these two verses that are our memory verse. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Go there, please. Some of you are going through a difficult time. And you wonder why God allows the bad thing to happen to good people. That's the biggest weapon against Christianity from Satan and the unbelievers. Why the bad things happen to good people? I don't know. I'm not God. But in His infinite wisdom, it is necessary for us to go through. Verse 6 of chapter 4 in Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, we forget that often. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will give you anything you want. Does it say that? It said, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It does not say you will get whatever you want, but rather it will guard your heart. Three applications. Number one, knowing Jesus personally and intimately is the key to our Christian journey. Second application, knowing Jesus should be without our own preconception about Him. Let Him fill your heart today. In other words, don't come to Him with your prayer request, single space, front and back, 20 pages. As if He is some sort of bellhop. And God, this is what I want. How about this? You come with a blank page. You fill it up, Lord, and I will do. It works better. I know it goes against our carnal desire, right? Good for us. Third application. Knowing Jesus helps us pray properly for my glory, right? It's all about Him. Amen?